You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The automakers who will survive and thrive in the 21st century are the ones making the biggest strides in mobility and connectivity, because those are the keys to the self-driving vehicles of the future. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House believes Ford has a lot of catching up to do in mobility and connectivity, and there's a rough road ahead for new CEO Jim Hackett and his team. Daniel, Ford had record earnings last year. One might have thought that bodes well for the future.
You would think, but it was interesting. A leading Wall Street analyst yesterday issued a report that said, predicted that Ford's earnings outlook may be need to be reduced by 50% over the next 18 to 24 months. And he paints a picture that hues with something that I think I'm pretty familiar with, which is that Ford is much more of a laggard in connectivity and mobility than I think its PR has been positioning it.
You have in today's column some points that this analyst, Adam Jonas, put out. Break it down for us, what he sees as the ways in which Ford is behind.
A couple things. One is he doesn't think that the model lineup is where it needs to be and it needs refreshing, that they need to invest more in mobility and in autonomy in a way that is that shows results and can show results. And, of course, the fact that U.S. sales are moderating is another issue, but that affects everybody. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing that's really interesting, which really shocked me, and I did a little checking when I read this to confirm that, that my understanding was right, was that essentially none of Ford's vehicles are connected today. And one of the things that the auto companies are all about, and Silicon Valley companies that are trying to get into the auto space, is about the data. What kind of data can they collect off of vehicles? About drivers, about how vehicles perform, about safety, about all sorts of things. And General Motors has had OnStar for many, many years, as many of your listeners know, and they've been collecting data off of those cars since 2009. Hmm. So we're talking about 8 years now that they've been collecting data. It's about 12 million cars, and they are at the point right now where they can get like 6.5, I think the number is, billion pieces of data off of vehicles on a daily basis. I mean, that's just enormous. It's staggering. And Ford is moving in that direction. They are building a data center in Dearborn. One of their executives joked to me not long ago saying, you know, if we'd have been talking about a data center and Ford Motor Company in the same sentence 5 or 6 years ago, people would have laughed.
Why?
Because the technology has moved so quickly. And as I point out in today's column, Alan Mulally, the superstar recruited from Boeing in 2006 to essentially rescue Ford Motor Company, did an industrial rescue. There's no question about that. And he deserves credit for that. And there were a lot of sequential quarter over quarter over quarter improvements in their earnings. He was beloved on Wall Street. But I think one of the things we now see is that he probably wasn't laying as much pipe, if you will, for the next generation revolution of connectivity, mobility, autonomy, as some of his peers were, particularly over at General Motors.
So I'm hearing you say Alan Mulally, with that traditional disciplined approach, kind of set Ford up to fail and to fall behind in the mobility and race.
Yeah, I think you got to be a little careful here. I'd want to be careful on that. I think it's a two-pronged kind of thing.
Okay.
And he was very focused on the and saving the industrial business, and he did that. I don't think there's any question about that. But the other question was, did he really focus on where the future was? And this future has been evolving very, very quickly. Let's remember, Alan left the company in about the middle of 2014. Mary Barra came and took over General Motors in early 2014. What has changed in this industry in those intervening 2.5, 3 years is remarkable. I mean, we weren't having these kinds of conversations 2.5 years ago, you and I. We weren't talking about connectivity and mobility. News organizations didn't have people covering mobility, particularly outside of Silicon Valley. Now, everybody, we've got people doing that. I spend a lot of time doing that. It has totally changed the industry. And now I think a lot of people who are investing in these companies are saying, all right, you got to demonstrate to us that you have a path forward and how you can be competitive in the world of mobility and connectivity and autonomous vehicles. And if you can't, I'm going to put my money somewhere else in the sector where I think somebody is going to get me there quicker and deliver the growth that I expect as an investor. And anybody listening to you out there would say, look, if I'm going to get a 2% return or a 1% return versus a 5 or 7% return, who's going to put their money in a 2% return?
So with all of this emerging picture and the comparisons to what, you know, Mary Barra and her team have been doing at GM, How do you think Ford's Hackett and team should be responding to what you call this tough new road ahead?
Well, I think it's obvious. They put out a statement yesterday in regards to this Wall Street report, and I thought it was very introspective, and it talked about speed, and it talked about destroying capital, that we're going to invest where we're and essentially not destroy capital. That is a buzzword in Detroit. I mean, Detroit is famous and has been famous for decades for being a great incinerator of investor capital. They take the money in, they blow it, they say, oh, well, we lost it. Oh, down the road we go. And I think they realize very well that they can't do that, and they're going to need to show results. I think the other thing that's really important is we're just talking here about Jim Hackett. The other thing that they did within 3, 4, 5 days of naming Hackett as CEO, they changed the entire senior operating leadership of that company. And I've been around Ford Motor Company a long time, and I can tell you that you haven't seen something like that in I can't remember when. They moved all sorts of people around. They restructured the way the reporting relationships. They tried to flatten the organization to bring more accountability into it. I mean, they're setting the table here for a different way of operating. Now, as anybody who knows who's followed these car companies, it's all in the execution. So if they don't execute it and they just move chairs around on an org chart, it really doesn't mean anything. But if they do execute in a different kind of way with a different kind of leadership, then I think we may be having a different discussion. But it's not going to be one we're going to have in a couple of months. It may be in 12, 18, or 24 months.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.